Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Christians begin a new liturgical year with the season of Advent, a time of preparation to celebrate the mystery of the Incarnation.
Some people propose that to protect religious freedom, we must ban speech that is critical or offensive about religion. We do not agree.
You gave the opening prayer for the newly elected lesbian mayor of Houston. Did you get any flack for that?
Sure we do. But again, it shows that the heart of who we are is to uplift people and to love everybody.
All you need is love.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
Well, we are told that America is growing less and less religious. We're told that many Americans are spiritual, but not religious. That's what we're told. But how much of this is actually true? If you crunch the data together, does it really come out that way? We're going to be talking during this hour of Issues Etc. about some not new research, but actually reanalyzed research regarding a growing religious chasm in the U.S. Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest. Thanks for tuning us in. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll begin with Colleen Carroll Campbell, and then a little bit later, we'll be talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Marsh of the Ruth Institute. We'll be talking to her about California's Prop 8 that faces a judicial decision here next week. Then we'll continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible, talking to Dr. John Seleska of the Concordia Bible Institute about the genealogies of Christ, which vary, and the list of the apostles, which also vary. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 2nd, and thanks for tuning us in. Joining us to talk about a growing religious chasm in the U.S. and the crunching of the old numbers to find out what America's really like in a religious sense, Colleen Carroll Campbell. She's host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
What's the biggest misconception that most of us hold about the religious landscape in America?
I think probably the biggest, or at least the most common one, is this idea that because on average Americans appear very religious on surveys about our belief in God, belief in heaven, that sort of thing, that means the average American is very religious. And what was interesting about the series of surveys conducted, Faith Matters surveys are the ones that this book is based on, the book I wrote about this week. It's called American Grace, How Religion Divides and Unites Us. Two political scientists analyzed the data. Robert Putnam, who's famous for his work Bowling Alone about the loss of community in America, and Notre Dame political scientist David Campbell. What's interesting about the reams of data they analyzed and some of their findings is that even though the average in terms of our religiosity is fairly high, they found that, in fact, Americans are increasingly splitting into two polls. Either you're at the one end and you're highly religious, or you're at the other and you're increasingly strident about your secularism. And they found that this sort of moderate middle, or squishy middle, as some of us refer to it, is shrinking and shrinking fast. And so I think that's a really interesting finding. And in some ways it's troubling as well, because I think we tend to assume, especially those of us who are believers and who take our faith seriously and believe it has a role in public life, we tend to assume, you know, that the vast majority of Americans are sort of with us on this question of, you know, the importance of religion in American public life. And actually, these findings suggest that while there's a large group of Americans who are getting more religious, there's also a large group getting more and more secular. And so we're going to see, I think, more division in the years to come rather than less.
We've heard a lot about the spiritual but not religious factor, and we've heard recently about how this sector of the American religious landscape is growing faster. It's not significant, but it's growing faster than any other sector. What do we know from the compilation of the latest data about the spirituals but not religious?
Well, it's true that the Americans who identify themselves as none on religious surveys, this group is growing, and I think the most recent survey put it at 15% of Americans, which is it's pretty large. Percentage, at least even just compared to a decade ago. These are people who don't call themselves atheists. They don't embrace that label, but they don't particularly affiliate with any religious tradition. So that group is growing, and again, that's part of that growth of the secular wing of the American populace. That part's true. But this idea that we hear touted a lot in religious trend stories by the mainstream media, by Hollywood starlets trying to describe their beliefs, this idea that I'm spiritual but I'm not religious, we tend to get the sense from the popular press that this is a very common way that Americans think of themselves. But actually, again, the survey data don't bear that out. And it was interesting that when they looked at the data, they found that only 4% of the least religious Americans actually describe themselves as spiritual, very spiritual, but 80% of the most religious do. In other words, the authors of American Grace found that really when it comes to being spiritual or religious, Americans tend to see the two as going hand in hand. Either you're one and you tend to be the other as well, or you're not really either, which I think, again, is true to our experience as believers. It's difficult to be very spiritual when you make no effort in any outward part of your life to adhere to any sort of creed, and so, or to affiliate with any kind of religious community. I think it's difficult to sustain spirituality on that level, and that's why I think, you know, it's interesting that most non-religious Americans are frank enough to say, yeah, I'm not really very spiritual either.
Did they find any strong correlation with religious attendance, that is, regular worship attendance in a general sense?
Very much so. They found a strong correlation in a whole realm of behaviors, but you could sum it up, I guess, by saying the strong correlation is between regular worship and good citizenship, or the authors also titled it, you know, good neighborliness. And what we're talking about here is the fact that frequent churchgoers are more likely than those who don't go to church or only go rarely to vote, to work for political or social reform, to join civic organizations, to volunteer, to give to charity, to donate blood, to allow others to cut in front of them in traffic, to give their seat to strangers. You just go down the line, and they found a very strong edge among regular worshipers on all of these behaviors that are associated basically with being a good citizen and a good neighbor. It was interesting, too, that that voluntarism and that giving to charity is not about only religious charities, that frequent churchgoers are more likely to donate to secular charities than are secular people. And they're more likely to volunteer for secular causes than secular people are. So this is just a really interesting neighborly edge, as the authors of this study described it. But what was even more interesting is when you drill down into those numbers, you find that the edge holds true regardless of where one worships. Now, certainly as Christians, we don't believe that what you profess in terms of your religious beliefs doesn't matter. But when it comes to getting active in your community, in a certain sense, what matters most is the fact that you are in a faith community. And researchers found that what they called religious friendships are the friendships most likely to kind of impel us outward in terms of doing good deeds. For some reason, our other relationships, our other friendships, don't have this kind of civic boost effect that religious friendships do. And so what they concluded, interestingly, was that actually if you, you know, sort of profess your deep religious faith in your heart, but don't ever get out to church, or you get there and sort of, you know, go out of your way never to really interact with anyone else in your faith community, you'll find that actually the rates of civic engagement for those people are still pretty low. So it's not only about showing up at church, it's about being sort of enmeshed in a religious social network, which is about, you know, what you're doing not only during worship, but also who you're hanging around with and how much faith sort of infuses your everyday life. And when it's a big part of your social life, it tends to make you a better citizen and a better neighbor.
Does that bear true, that correlation bear true, when it comes to the big social and moral issues on the political table here in America?
Well, it certainly does. And the correlation, as we know, between frequent church attendance and views on issues like abortion and same-sex marriage is very strong. You know, you can basically peg where someone is on those issues if they are at one extreme or the other of that kind of measure in terms of going to church very regularly or not at all, or hardly not at all. You know, if you're going to church very regularly and it's a big part of your life, odds are you're pro-life and you believe in man-woman marriage. If you're not, you rarely darken the door of a church, odds are you're pro-choice or really support abortion rights, I should say, and you are in support of same-sex marriage. They found, interestingly, and an earlier Pew Research Center poll has also found this, that on a lot of other issues, religion doesn't make such a big difference. For instance, they found that most religious Americans agree with most secular Americans when it comes to things like their desire to see the government provide for the poor. Now, we can argue about what's the best way to do that, but most Americans want to see the poor cared for, about the importance of fighting crime and securing the borders. Those kinds of things you don't see as much of a God gap. But when it comes to these hot-button social issues, things that have to do with sex and family life, that's where you really see the difference between religious and secular Americans, and specifically not simply those who claim religious affiliation, but those who actually practice it on a regular basis.
Well, when we come back, one more question for Colleen before we let her go. I wonder if the new research, these numbers as they have been analyzed, gives lie to the claim of so many new atheists that in America especially, religion is at the root of all evil, that it's to blame for so many of our society's ills. We'll get her answer to that question on the other side of this break. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 2nd. Colleen Carroll Campbell is our guest. After we conclude our conversation with her, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us. We'll get an update on Prop 8 in California. A vote to ban same-sex marriage in California is up against a judicial decision. Stay tuned.
This is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
The shepherds' hearts were full of fear. They shook right in their shoes. But then the angel called to them, "Fear not, I've got good news." Words from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, a children's book, The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes. You can find out more about this great stocking stuffer at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes and other great Christmas arch books for children by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about a growing religious chasm in the U.S. and what we are learning as we crunch the numbers on the religious climate in the United States. Colleen Carroll Campbell is our guest. Colleen, one more question before we let you go. Do you think the revelations in this new book, American Grace, give lie to the claim that many new atheists often put before the public when they say that religion is, in essence, the source of all our societal evils?
Well, I think you could certainly make that argument. I mean, you know, you may not ever be able to prove to a rabid atheist that religion makes you a better person or that faith does, but there's really no arguing that it makes you a better neighbor, better citizen when it comes to actually just getting out and doing good deeds. What's in your heart? Well, we can leave that for God to judge. But in terms of what you're actually doing on just about every measure, if you're actively involved with a faith community, you're doing more good works than if you're not. Now, obviously, that varies according to individuals. But yes, I think it's a very strong challenge to the idea that, as Christopher Hitchens has argued, religion poisons everything. Actually, religion appears to be what's keeping our civic life going in many ways. It's the religious people, the regular churchgoers who are out there kind of doing the work of democracy and of neighborliness. And it's interesting, this is true not only of religious conservatives, but the study also found of religious liberals. If they're actively going to church and enmeshed in those social networks, they're out there doing those good deeds. And so I think that's a very strong rebuke to the new atheists.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a regular guest, host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.